Right now on VFN TV, President Trump talks to the space station live from the Oval Office. Also, we're going to be talking about sanctuary cities. We see it's going on in the nation, but what does God's word say about sanctuary cities and how we need to respond? That and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
Got repaired as soon as I
took the... Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Think about this. Can you imagine going to the space station and orbiting around the planet? Can you imagine most of the students in school getting to talk live to the astronauts there? Can you imagine also the president joining in on that conversation? Well, it just happened. This is President Trump talking to the space station as students from all around America listen in. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
Station, this is your president. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. We have you loud and clear.
Well, that's what we like. Great American equipment that works. And this isn't easy. I want to say it's very exciting to be here today. Very, very exciting. And to speak to you live with three brave American astronauts. These are our finest. These are great, great Americans, great people. Two join us from orbit aboard the International Space Station, Commander Peggy Watson and Colonel Jack Fisher. And Peggy Watson has been setting records, so we're going to talk about that very soon. I'm here in the Oval Office along with my daughter Ivanka and astronaut Kate Rubins, who recently returned from space and from the space station. Together, we are being joined by students all across America, thousands and thousands of students who are learning. They're learning about space, learning about a lot of other things. And they're watching this conversation from the classroom. And all over, we have astronauts and we have everybody. We're flying right now 17,000 miles per hour. That's about as fast as I've ever heard. I wouldn't want to be flying 17,000 miles an hour, but that's what you do. Peggy, Jack, and Kate, I know that America's students are thrilled to hear from you. But first, I want to say that this is a very special day in the glorious history of American space flight. Today, Commander Watson, you have broken the record for the most total time spent in space by an American astronaut, 534 days and counting. That's an incredible record to break. And on behalf of our nation and, frankly, on behalf of the world, I'd like to congratulate you. That is really something. And I'd like to know, how does it feel to have broken such a big and important record?
Well, it's actually a huge honor to break a record like this. But it's an honor for me back basically to be representing all the folks at NASA who make this spaceflight possible and who make me setting this record feasible. And so it's a very exciting time to be at NASA. We are all very much looking forward, as directed by your new NASA bill. We're excited about the missions to Mars in the 2030s. And so we're actually physically have hardware on the ground that's being built for the SLS rocket that's going to take us there. And the, of course, the hardware being built now is going to be for the test flights that will eventually get us there. But it's a very exciting time, and I'm so proud of the team.
Great. And what are we learning from having you spending your time up there? I know so much research is done. I'm getting a glimpse of some of it right here in the Oval Office. What are we learning by being in space?
Well, I think probably the International Space Station is providing a key bridge from us doing living on Earth to going somewhere into deep space. So on those Mars missions, we need to better understand how microgravity is really affecting our body, and we need to understand it in great detail. So many of the studies are looking at the human body. We're also looking at things that involve operations of a space vehicle on these long-duration missions, and the technological advancements that will be required. For instance, on a multi-year Mars mission, we're going to need to be able to close the life support system, and that means we, right now, for instance, are taking solar power that we collect and using it to break apart water into oxygen and hydrogen. The oxygen we breathe, of course, we use the hydrogen, combine it back with the CO2 that we take out of the air, and make more water. But water is such a precious resource up here that we also are cleaning up our urine and making it drinkable, and it's really not as bad as it sounds.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Better you than me. I will say, Colonel Fisher, you just arrived, and how was your trip? Complicated, easy? How did it go?
Oh, sir, it was awesome. It made even my beloved F-22 feel a little bit underpowered. It was, you know, I launched in a Russian vehicle with my Russian friend, Fyodor Yurchikhin, from Kazakhstan. You know, got the immediate perspective change as we got to orbit, and I saw that frail, thin blue line of life around the Earth. 6 hours later, we're docked to the station. The next day, I install an experiment in the Japanese module that's going to be looking at new drugs and how we can make those drugs for muscular dystrophy, Alzheimer's, multi-drug-resistant bacteria, all sorts of things. A couple hours later, I watched our crewmate Thomas Pesquet, a Frenchman, drive a Canadian robotic arm to capture a spaceship from Virginia carrying 3.5 tons of cargo and science that's going to keep us busy for the next few months and dock that to the station. Sir, it's amazing. Oh, and then, you know, now I'm talking to the President of the United States while hanging from a wall. It's amazing. The International Space Station is by far the best example of international cooperation and what we can do when we work together in the history of humanity, and I am so proud to be a part of it. You know, and it's also just cool. Like, yesterday, I had, well, there you go. There's our resident space ninja doing the gravity demonstration, and yesterday morning, I had my coffee in floaty ball form, and sir, it was delicious. So, it's awesome.
Tell me, Mars, what do you see a timing for actually sending humans to Mars? Is there a schedule, and when would you see that happening?
Well, I think as your bill directed, it'll be approximately in the 2030s. As I mentioned, we actually are building hardware to test the new heavy launch vehicle, and this vehicle will take us further than we've ever been away from this planet.
Take us further than we've ever been away from this planet. Isn't that exciting? We talked about in an earlier program how the president is funding a trip to Mars, and it's exciting to see us explore the creation of God. When you think about it, and read scriptures, you know, the Lord lets us know that He created the universe. He created and put the stars in place. And of course, universe is a whole bunch of stars gathered together, and we're just exploring. It's just so exciting. But when we do these kind of adventures, things open up to us, and we learn new things about things that can help us as a people, medications, and all kinds of things just happen. But it's exciting. 2030. So that means today, if you're 14, if you're 15 years old, you'll be 28 years old when reportedly we're going to be going to Mars. I think technology is multiplying so quickly that it may be sooner than that. If the Lord doesn't come back, if not, we're all going to go past Mars and just wave goodbye as we go to be with the Lord. Listen, we're going to be talking after this break about safety. You know, for the last 2 years prior to the president, Trump becoming president, everybody was concerned about safety and our borders and people, illegal people coming into our country that were harming our citizens. And so we're going to talk about safety. The president had a listening session with law enforcement, but now sanctuary cities, they're actually cities around America that are taking in people consciously and willingly that has violated the law, that are here in America illegally, and they're not communicating or cooperating with the federal government and to be able to enforce those laws, because there's laws that says you can't do, you can come in, but just come in legally. And so today, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about what does God say about sanctuary cities? Did you know this? I'll give you a little hint. God actually had sanctuary cities. Join us at the break. We'll tell you all about them.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There are moments in life that define you and leave you forever transformed. Like a once-in-a-lifetime journey to the source of your faith. Walk in the steps of Jesus and experience history beyond its words. Sail the ancient Sea of Galilee to the holy shores of the River Jordan. Your journey begins here.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, is that not exciting? You know, if you missed the earlier part of our program, that the president, President Trump, is talking to the space station, and the students all around America are all involved and asking questions to the astronauts. Isn't that exciting?
That's amazing. You know, especially when the leader of our nation is casting vision, talking about going to Mars.
Yes.
Helps everybody realize, listen, we've got to begin to start doing more innovation and stop taking the limits off of, you know, what we can do. We can do anything.
Yes. And and of course, the astronauts have set, she's been in space maybe 500 something days.
Yeah.
I was thinking when they pan the camera here, it's going to be rough. But she looks great. She looked in
great,
shape.
Good health.
I guess she's exercising there, but it's just so, I can imagine traveling at 17,000 miles an hour.
Is that crazy?
That is totally crazy. But hey.
And to project that we're going to be in Mars by 2030, that's not too long.
Nope.
Too long away.
And did he sign an executive order?
He did. Apparently, the state of Florida and Texas are going to be able to benefit from both of those bills because they're going to be working towards getting us to Mars.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll watch you go. I'm not going to
No, don't watch me. I'll watch from a distance.
Well, listen, you remember the president, he was talking to us about safety, and this last presidential campaign was about, you know, ISIS that are attacking people around the earth, the bombs that are blowing up. 350,000 radical jihadist terrorists, according to Kamal from Qum Ministries.
450,000.
450,000, and that's an old number.
Mm-hmm.
The MS-13.
MS-13
that's in every state, that gang. And it was like nobody was doing anything about it.
Not to mention drug cartels and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to talk about sanctuary cities. Because grown folks, I mean, mayors and governors, some of them are saying we're going to violate the law and we're going to allow people who entered the country illegally, even if they committed a crime, to stay here, and we're not going to cooperate with the government. This is like a big ordeal. So the President Trump invited some officers, police officers, to the White House to have a listening session because he wants to get behind every department in the government that makes our citizens safe. We'll take a look.
My highest duty as president is the security of our people, the security of our nation. That is why I've already taken numerous actions to enhance domestic security, including the creation of task force on reducing violent crime, an interagency task force to dismantle criminal cartels, along with historic actions to secure our borders and remove criminals from our country. We're removing MS-13. We're removing criminals all over the country. They're getting out. We're taking them out. And for that, I thank you folks. I know you're in strict coordination with General Kelly and the Border Patrol and ICE, and you've been doing a fantastic job. As president, I will work night and day to make America safe again.
To make America safe again. It's like the people of America just said, we need somebody who is going to seal our borders up and allow people to come to the country legally, but somebody that we actually know. Sort of like your house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody that's talking has an opinion on this. They pretty much have a door on their house and they lock it at night and they determine who's going to come through or not. For some reason, some people are not wanting a door on our country. You know, the door, you can use the door, but you want to ask who's actually coming in first.
That's right.
Well, you know, as I was abiding with the Lord and to just focusing on Him, He begins to speak to me about sanctuary cities. As a matter of fact, look at this map right here. There is sanctuary cities. These are cities that reportedly declared that they are going to take illegal aliens, people who came to this country who are not a citizen of this country, and put them in their cities and not cooperate with anybody else, the government, federal government, and tell them that they're ICE, you know, in regards to immigration. And so they're literally just openly saying that. Look at that. It's all over America.
Wow.
And so they're calling them sanctuary cities. And so, of course, the things that you're hearing on throughout media and things that are going on, you can pull that image down, everybody's talking about like it's part of our language, sanctuary cities. And so I was, you know, as I was spending time with God, God began to speak to me through His word. And in Joshua chapter 20, the book of Joshua, He talks specifically about this. Think about this. Remember when Israel, God's chosen folks, are coming through the wilderness and they're being taken to the promised land and, you know, all the things they had to go through to be able to do that. Well, remember how when they were coming in, And Joshua was taking them in. Moses stayed in the wilderness, and they're bringing them in. They begin to divide the land up like lots and plots and that type of thing. But why God began to sanction off the land, different areas to give to different tribes of Israel, families, he, at the very same time, John, think about this, the very same time he God created sanctuary cities. So God is into sanctuary cities.
Amazing.
I want, if you're listening, if you're watching, hold on a moment. We got to find out what God, why God's doing it. But in the question we want to ask ourselves, and we're totally open to this question, but we know what we found out is, well, are sanctuary cities right? Is the right thing to do? I mean, you got man's laws and man's things, but what does God
say about
sanctuary cities? And I was so surprised to find out, John, the very first thing God does when he starts dealing out the promised land to Israel, he began to say, but you need to set up a sanctuary city. But the question is, what is this? What,
so this is in the Bible. Sanctuary cities in the Bible.
Yeah, like real estate 101 and plots and lots and, you know, all those descriptions of land, you know. But he said, but there needs to be sanctuary cities. And I want you, don't get excited yet, get upset. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense about what God says. John, can you, this is, we're going to read from Joshua chapter 20. And this is when Joshua just came in and he's dealing the land out according to the tribe and the size. But let's just see what happened during that land distribution.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses.
Hold on a minute. So God instructed Moses to tell everyone, you got to have sanctuary cities. So right now we know, talking about sanctuary cities, let's put that image up again. You're looking here. You know, the question we want to ask ourselves is, are these sanctuary cities? So maybe imagine America being the promised land, right? And so they are beginning to distribute the land. And so you got sanctuary city set up. You got sanctuary city set up. So, but let's read a little bit further down. You can pull that back down, but it's the same thing in the context of verbiage. But what does it mean? Okay.
So that anyone.
So this is the reason why they have
the reason
a sanctuary
why.
City.
So that anyone who kills a person accidentally.
No, somebody kills someone.
Kills someone.
Which means that a possible crime maybe has been committed or hasn't been committed, but they don't necessarily know yet.
Right.
Okay.
So that anyone who kills a person accidentally or and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood.
So this is important. So sanctuary cities are a place that you can run to, because even if it was an accident, some people get very angry.
Oh, yeah.
And accidents happen. That's what I call car accidents and different things taking place. But I think what's interesting is that God has given us a free will, and he's showing us how our free will is here, that we can make decisions that harm folks, but it won't necessarily be intentional. You know, we can make a mistake. We can have an accident. You know, accidents happen all the time. But God provided refuge, cities of refuge, so that that person can actually get through that season of their life. So it's sounding, I don't know. So let's keep reading
it. When they flee to one of these cities,
what that's happening right now. They're advertising sanctuary cities, and people are running to the cities. Okay. But the thing, too, it was a person who didn't commit a crime.
Right.
It was an accident. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So when they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of that city.
Well, that's important, because then sanctuary cities had judges, and the gates are the government. And so they had to come into that city, and the government had to cooperate with its citizens that are coming there. And so there needs to be judges. So I hear reports right now that our president, President Trump, has set up judges with Homeland Security on the border to make sure everyone gets justice in regards to, you know, to hear their case. What happened? Something may have happened. So a sanctuary city then has gates, has government, and has a place where you present your case. Now, what's been happening is they have been coming in illegally. They go to the court immediately, and they give them a court date, and then they just let them go. Catch and release, they call it. You know, which sounds almost
OTM, other than Mexican, right?
When it's everybody.
Okay.
It's everybody, you know, and that, so that's not what you're not, catch and release wouldn't be it. It would be like, stay here at the gates and present your case. And so you're creating courts right now to just be dedicated to, we need to hear your case. You know, what's going on? Why did you flee? Why are you here? Okay.
Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice and aforethought.
Well, this is important. So then when you see sanctuary cities, are they protecting the immigrant that's in their city? That would be a right thing in the eyes of God if, in fact, there was no crime committed. But the thing about it's not the fact that somebody's an alien, it's the fact that they're illegal immigrant. Are they illegal? You broke the law. So if you present your case at the gates in the government of the city, then you would say, I committed a crime.
Some people don't realize it's illegal.
Yeah, it's called illegal alien, the country.
That's why it's an illegal immigrant because you came here not following the proper laws of the United States to enter the country. You can come, but you got to come the correct way.
Yeah, and so in the context of that is that, well, you shouldn't just catch and release, give a court date and release. It's like, let's present your case. And some people have a legitimate reason for being here, the persecution, something's going on, and they can hear the case right then and there.
Yeah.
But if you just get a court date and take off, that wouldn't be defined as a biblical sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. And so you actually need to be able to listen. And so the local governments reportedly are not even cooperating with the federal government, and they're just choosing not to enforce federal law, which is a violation of the Constitution, what's going on, right?
That's right.
What else?
They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in their town from the city from which they fled. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing...
That's important. So any Israelites and any foreigner. So what we'd say today is like any citizen of America and any immigrant in America, people living amongst us. Say
right.
again.
Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the Avenger of Blood prior to standing trial before the assembly.
Prior to standing trial. So the court system is very important in how this works. And so we want to be able to pray for wisdom to be able to make sure that everybody gets justice because they may need to be here. Mm. But the sanctuary city is not what's being done, is not a biblical, because a lot of times people are using what God's word, but they're not really using it. They're just kind of manipulating folks with it. But so sanctuary cities are of God, but it's for folks that didn't break the law. It's ones that didn't break the law. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to break this thing down a little bit and begin to look at America and what's taking place, because this is going to be a big deal. The president just signed an executive order to be able to defund basically sanctuary cities. And one of the federal judges, I believe it was, struck it down, and it's on pause. And it's like, you know, the things that are happening, it's like you got to have a righteous judge. I mean, you got to have judges that are fulfilling. When you're a federal judge and you're a judge, you raise your hand and you swear that you'll protect and defend and represent the Constitution of the United States. So it needs to be checked out in the Constitution. That's why I really appreciate this new Supreme Court justice. He's known for his constitutional correctness. His name is
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch, a constitutionalist, and that's so important. But listen, I want to be able to give you something. I want to send it to you for free. It is an offer we want to give you for your financial partnership of any amount whatsoever. It's called the Digital Divide. When you think about America and how at one time we were all packed up and stacked up on the northeast part of the continent, but we had to go west of the Mississippi. But how do you motivate people to go west of the Mississippi? Well, the president declared that they called it going across the Great Divide. You know, in Manifest Destiny, they talked about it. And they said, listen, if you go out there to that wild place and you will stake off the land and you'll farm that land and make it fruitful, we'll give it to you. We'll give you the title deed to it. Well, right now we have the great digital divide. We got to begin to say, you know what? We could go around the world if we listen to what God's saying and giving us this particular opportunity. A lot of people stayed on the east side of the Mississippi because they were too fearful and too afraid, and you know, they didn't have a belief system and an understanding. It's like, we can take the land. There'll be a California one day. There'll be a Washington one day. There'll be a Missouri one day. I mean, they had a vision, you know, for taking it. And we got to have a vision for taking the great digital divide. As a matter of fact, let us send this to you. Here are the details right now.
Offer 2031, the digital divide, making sense of our new digital culture. Where do Christians fit in this digital age in our culture? We are without a doubt at a point with technology which is like the continental divide in America. Which way will the water decide to go after coming all the way from Canada? Will it go east or will it go west? In this message, we'll take a raw look at the facts, such as Oxford saying 47% of jobs are at risk because of technology taking those jobs from truck driving to service jobs to what one says is 15% of all the jobs on the earth. You'll be enlightened with God's word and how to look at the age in which we now live, and you'll learn how to approach it from a kingdom perspective. If you've been confused and not sure of how to approach this age of technology, you'll gain a clear direction. And I believe your mind will be transformed in how to operate in such a time and age. It's vital to have this wisdom, for we are close to the end times becoming now times, one of which is to do with technology and a beast economy and how we do business in the world. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV. That's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2031, The Digital Divide, making sense of our new digital culture.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax-exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax-exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax-exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
Crystal from Fairmont, West Virginia, is a life mastery consultant, and she asked me to talk for a moment about the word gratitude. It reminds me of a few years ago when we had all the grandchildren over our house at Thanksgiving, and in preparation for this day of expressing thanksgiving and gratitude, Margaret had bought the little grandchildren pilgrim costumes. Oh, you ought to have seen them. We decided to have a Thanksgiving program, and so we practiced and worked on our little sayings and our thoughts and the verses that we were going to quote, and it was a lot of fun getting ready for the big program. And I'll never forget John, who at that time was, I think, about 3. We were doing a thing that basically was that attitude is an expression of gratitude. And this little kid of my grandson, who's named after me, who gets all the inheritance, by the way, this little kid is having a hard time with the expression attitude as a result, or gratitude as a result of attitude. And he's worked on it, and he's worked on it, and he said it about a half a dozen times, and finally he just kind of exasperated, falls on the floor and says, "Papa, it's just too hard to do this." And I thought as he lay there on the floor, that's the way a lot of people feel about gratitude. They just feel it's too hard to express, and so they don't. Or they are what I call the silent gratitude people. They say, "Well, I don't say it, but I feel it." Well, that's too bad, because the rest of us don't know you're feeling it. Show it to your face. Say it in your words. Gratitude. Basically, it's you and me saying, we realize that other people are important in our life, and that what we have is not because of what we've done, but because of what others do for us also. It's an expression that goes a long way in helping others feel important.
We
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are learning something about sanctuary cities, that God is all about sanctuary, a sanctuary city. But his definition of a sanctuary city is a legal sanctuary city, mm-hmm. you know, one that allows people to haven't violated the law to be able to stay in. But once you violated a law, God, the sanctuary cities that God talks about, that wouldn't be it. Of course,
you have no access to it.
Yeah, you know, zero access to it. But the first thing you do is let somebody come to your city. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But the next thing you do is they appear before the courts to find out. This is a Judeo-Christian nation. Our laws, our foundation is based on biblical principles. It just is. And that this is where they're getting this from. Mm. That's why you have to actually, even when you're in rebellion to the Constitution and you're a leader, you still had to actually give them a court date because they have to appear before the judge. The thing is that you should have held them there in that city till they appear to the court.
In court.
That's what it says. Instead, they just kind of let them go somewhere all over the country. And so, and there's a lot of great people, and I could understand why somebody would want to come to America. I understand that. But there's also other folks that aren't good, that mean harm to our country. That's why there's a system, even a system in sanctuary cities.
A just system.
A just system. And it's so important because, you know, and some of the reports are they're putting judges right there on the border so they could immediately give justice
and
to somebody.
Administer justice.
Yeah, which means they can come on in if something's going on. You know, there's a particular part of, you could see this at VFNTV.com, or you can go to, even to our YouTube channel and see, don't vote for what you flee from, you know, and it's because I understand they're leaving maybe an oppressive government, but you can come in legally. And so I think about this. So people are talking about that it's unfair, some people, to vet the people. In other words, research them, find out if they're okay and stuff before you let them in the country. And they
find out if they have terrorist tendencies, if they exploded anything in the past.
Uncle Hussein, what was
part of a secret organization called ISIS, anything like that, right?
Right.
That's important to know.
Yes, it is. And so then you hear things like, I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be a big wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall, but it's going to have a gate in it. Well, that means legal people can come through that gate.
Sure.
And then we're going to enforce and put border patrol, more officers, law enforcement on the borders to secure our borders. And people are upset about that. And it's like, think about this, especially if you're a Christian. Did you know that heaven has a wall around heaven? It has a very high wall. It has gates, beautiful gates, made of pearl, but gates. And at those gates, they have border patrol. It's called angelic angels right there, letting people come in and don't. And it's actually very stringent vetting to be able to get into heaven.
Who has access?
Even though people may tell people, you know, you can get in, the thing is, that's the worst lie of all, right?
That's right.
But some people, you know, aren't, but you have to go through that vetting process to be able to come in. Listen. Because you heard about the wall, the gates, the guards. And it's like, listen, heaven, if you call it, heaven's got high walls and gates and guards. As a matter of fact, let's go to the book of Revelation and look at Revelations, I believe it is 21. Yeah, 21. Look at this. It says, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me. This is an angel that came, has taken John on this particular journey, about to show him heaven. He says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And then he goes on to say, and it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewels like jasper, clear as crystal. So it's the beautiful heaven, right? Look at this. This is next. It had a great now.
Great.
Think about this. Great. I mean, how many times, like, it's going to be huge. It has a great high wall. So it has a high wall with 12 gates. So it's got a beautiful gate. It's going to be a gate in it. It's gonna be a gate. And with 12 angels at the gates, guards, border patrol for heaven. And he says, and on these gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east. There was three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. And listen, not only that there's strict vetting to be able to get in heaven. You can't just show up and get in heaven. in 22, he says very specifically, who gets to get in? So if there's stringent vetting to get into heaven,
hello.
This is blessed are those who are washed, who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through
the gate
into the city. I just want to encourage you right now. You're hearing people use terminology that sounds righteous. It seems right. But the truth is, if heaven has a gate, if heaven has a high wall, if heaven has a guard, us being mere men and have mere nations that God has allowed to stand, we have to actually have a system on our borders to protect us. If heaven has a high gate, a high wall, having a wall on the southern border is not a bad thing. It works for Israel. But notice this. It's Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem comes down. Why we're so focused on Israel all the time in Jerusalem, you're looking. Because God is all about this epicenter of earth called Jerusalem. And there's going to be a new Jerusalem coming down in heaven. It's going to be awesome. But the thing about this is, to say that a nation should not have walls is to say that heaven shouldn't have walls. To say that there shouldn't be gates that people can just come through is to say that heaven shouldn't have gates. And to say there shouldn't be guards and border patrol guarding our borders is to say that heaven shouldn't have angelic guards. And to say that anybody can come, that's almost like telling anybody they can go to heaven. It's like there is vetting process. You have to actually. So if it works, if it's what God does in heaven, if it's what Israel did for years in the city of David with walls, I mean, if you think about it.
It's what people do to have access in their own home. Yes. You vet every person that walks through your house, unless you leave the doors wide open.
Yes.
You make sure that the person comes in is going to be who you want them to be in.
Yes. And you think about this. We're going to go to break right here. But you got to hear, this is, you know, we have a Syrian that was being interviewed on a news program, and he was saying, listen, we don't want to be refugees. We want to stay in our country. We don't want to be refugees going all over the face of the earth. We thank President Trump for protecting us. And it's like, but our own people, some of them are saying we don't want to be protected. And it's like, no, you got to hear this because it's totally amazing when you're hearing people saying, listen, we want a nation. We want to live in our own country. I mean, I don't want to have to leave my country. And it's just going to bless your heart to realize all this stuff that's being said is just not true. They're just saying things. It's not biblical. The structures to rebel against the government, to not have a justice at the gate of the city, and not to ask the person, are you a murderer? Did you kill somebody? And people that have records that already have killed people and drunk driving, the reports are, and has harmed people and murdered and done different things, they're just letting them come in. And our president is saying, listen, no, we want to be like heaven in regards to, we want high walls, we want gates, we want guards on those gates. And we get back from this break, you're going to hear a Syrian say, listen, tell your president, President Trump, we thank you for helping deal with these people who are attacking us with chemical weapons. We don't want to be refugees. We want to stay in our own country. See you after the break. Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Distractions. Confusion, division. We try to look past it, but in reality, it's ripping us apart. This generation is facing a crisis. Many are turning their back on each other and on the church. It seems that the love that we are capable of is being diffused. Something has got to change. Some think it's too late. But we are the ones who believe. We serve one God who can change everything. One love, one hope, one moment can change our culture, our city, and our nation. And that moment is now. On April 29th, 2017, we are calling every believer to the streets of Mobile. We want every area, every corner of our city to be covered by a massive canopy of prayer. We can be a uniting force, prayerfully and strategically appealing to heaven for a godly change in our city. We will be one family, one city, together, who believe.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store, you can go to Google Play Store, or your Windows Store, and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so encouraging, isn't it, John, where we're finding out a biblical view of sanctuary cities, that they are real. We should have them. And this is a Judeo-Christian nation. So when they created these concepts in American laws, they considered these different things. And that, you know, we have our Constitution says you have a right to a speedy trial, a jury of your peers. But nobody, you know, we have even the aliens that live amongst us should have that kind of justice, right?
The Constitution is a good thing. We just need to follow it.
Yeah.
You know, this is an amazing document, but it's not surprising, but it's foolish to continue to promote these sanctuary cities like this.
Think about this. So Syria, they bombed the Syrians, the leader did, of Syria. Assad bombed his own people with the chemical weapons, and our president responded, and you hear what the secular media is saying about this, but the people in Syria are going, thank you, Mr. President. We don't want, as a matter of fact, listen to this interview now. You've got to hear it.
I woke up for some reason. I couldn't sleep. I woke up, I saw a lot of texts on my phone. I saw the news. I cried out of joy. I jumped. I thanked God. I don't know. I was overwhelmed. We've been asking for protection. We've been asking for consequences for more than 6 years. And today, for the first time, it happened. For the very first time, we see Assad held accountable, just for once, held accountable for his crimes against humanity. I was overwhelmed. I felt grateful for President Trump. I felt grateful for the United States. I felt grateful for each and every person who lobbied and called and kept on talking until someone actually listened.
There are people in America, and I hear you supportive of President Trump, and so many people are, Democrats and Republicans, but there are also people over here in America who are saying, all right, so clearly President Trump is motivated by just, as we all have compassion for these just horrible images of the, you know, these babies who were killed. But at the same time, this is a man who, you know, doesn't want Syrians to come into this country with this refugee ban. I want to just play some sound. Hillary Clinton weighed in.
We cannot in one breath speak of protecting Syrian babies and in the next close America's doors to them.
Quickly, Qasem, how do you see that?
With all due respect, I didn't see each and every person who was demonstrating after the travel ban. I didn't see you 3 days ago when people were gassed to death, when civilians were gassed to death. I didn't see you in 2013 when 1,400 people were gassed to death. I didn't see you raising your voice against President Obama's inaction in Syria that let us refugees, that made us refugees get kicked out of Syria. If you really care about refugees, if you really care about helping us, please help us stay in our country. We don't want to come to the United States. We want to stay in our country. We want to stay in our country with all due respect. This is hypocrisy. If you really care, help us stay in our country. We don't want to become refugees. We want to stay in our country. Help us establish safe zones. Help us stay safe in our country. And if you just give me a few seconds just to tell President Trump once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria. Please don't stop on this. Please help Syrians stay in their country. Please establish safe zones.
Help Syrians stay in their country. That was the response to coming on those chemical weapons that were fired on their own people, killing men, women, children, babies. And they're saying, "This is, we want to be in our country. We want to be Syrians. Whoever's doing this other stuff, trying to push us out of our country," which is, you know, Saul Alinsky, radical Islam, all these different things. And it's like, you know what? We're finding out the truth is starting to come out, and it's being revealed. And I hope you learned a lot about sanctuary cities there. We're going to have to go. We're going to put more at VFNTV.com. You can find out some more details. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel where we just opened up on YouTube. I want to be able to pray right now. Father God, we just pray, Father God, protection of our nation. We pray that you would put angels on our borders, God, that you would put high walls. It don't have to be a physical wall, but something that helps us regain our safety and our borders again, Lord. And I pray for lots of legal immigration coming to America, many people coming and getting their America, the dream that they want, Lord, but to be legally, God. And we pray for these cities, these sanctuary cities. Give them wisdom to understand what a true sanctuary city is and begin to do what's right and according before you, before this nation, Father God, and before our government, Father God. And what we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
We were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something, you know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time. And one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sure that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.